From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. Coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, another work week beginning this morning. Hope all of you had a fantastic weekend. Hope you arrived safely home from holiday parties that are starting to stretch out across the town, state, and country, I guess. Even Neil's going to holiday parties here lately, becoming a social butterfly.
Holiday party one.
But you had two.
No, I went to, well, Carson had one that I had to take him to.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Carson had one. I went to Laura's work Christmas party.
I thought you had one more in addition to that.
And then I went to an actual Christmas party.
Oh, well, that's two. It counts.
One's a work Christmas party. That
could have
hardly
gotten out of
counts.
It if you had to, couldn't you? Or was it pretty non-negotiable?
That's probably pretty non-negotiable.
Okay.
I remember I sang. I did the karaoke machine.
Yeah.
I was the life of the freaking party.
The other party was just a party.
Who is this?
Neil was watching MLB Network, which I'm not really sure why. Right.
Well, the MLB winter meetings are going on, and whoever that is, she is one talented reporter. That is, whatever she is saying right now on mute is genius.
She's going places.
Wow. She's pretty striking, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, she is a very good baseball reporter. She knows the game.
You're being very...
I said she's a great reporter.
You did. You did, yes.
She's a great reporter, phenomenal reporter.
She's dominating the hot stove, if you will.
She made the stove hotter there for a moment. Anyway, where were we?
Brought to you by the Oxford Exxon. Speaking of hooking you up with hot temperatures, the Oxford Exxon will smoke your turkey or your ham this holiday season. Just take it by. $15 is the starting price to take that off your plate to put the hammer turkey on your plate this holiday season. So check out the Oxford Exxon for that. You still get your lunch specials, your ribs, if you like, wet or dry. Call ahead and they'll wrap them up and have them ready to go for you. But 49-cent bottomless refills, also available every day at all Blue Skies across Mississippi, thanks to Craddock Oil. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, where that potential tax incentive could come in handy here soon.
It could. Dealers like Corey Clark are motivated to move their vehicles off the lot as much as possible, as many as possible. So you can take advantage of that at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a great deal. And it's up to you when you get the quote. You can shop it around if you like. Or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other podcast listeners, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. And then at the end of your deal, tell Corey, say, "Hey, heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and it is a $500 discount in addition to your great deal from Clark Ford. 662-257-1900."
I had a topic I want to talk about to open the show, and I can't. I mean, if I don't watch myself, I am going to ruin Christmas for families at some point in the next 2 weeks. Because on the tip of my tongue, I had a comment, and I went, again, I cannot talk about this. And is it really talking about it if we don't talk about it on air, if we just have the conversation privately? I mean, that really doesn't count the same way, but I'm
almost scared at this point.
I have a problem, and I want to talk about it, but I can't. I'll have to
Can
do it
you
kind of
hint at it?
No, I can't, because Johnny or Susie will have really bad mornings if I do, so not going to. And it was my opening, kind of.
Can you? You know, you could do the, hey, if you are listening to the podcast.
We'll just talk about it later.
Okay.
I don't want to risk it because it's very direct. It's not an indirect. It's not a talk around. It's not one of those things.
Shohei looks very unhappy in his Angels jersey. He looks miserable.
Number 17. They're going to sell a lot of those, I have a feeling.
He looks miserable. He looks so sad, and it's heartbreaking to watch someone not do what you know deep down in his dreams and hearts what he wanted to do. It's tough to watch.
A lot of talk right now about how to put him in as a fantasy baseball player because he kind of breaks the system on what to do with him. Baseball America had a story about that a couple days ago on what to do with
that is it. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
He's going to end up hitting less in the American League than he would had he just gone to a National League team. He's going to end up being a pitcher.
You know, that was like, you know, one of the best fantasy football seasons of all time was when Marcus Colston came in. Fantasy programs put him in as a tight end.
Oh, I remember that.
So you got a year of tight end out of Marcus Colston. And I mean, and that was right before some of the huge boom. Like, you had Antonio Gates, but for the most part, the tight ends weren't the flex guys they are now at the, you know, even just 10 years ago, whatever it was. So, yeah, Colston pretty good as tight end. So we're at the, we're getting kind of in the slow time of year. We'll talk about basketball a little bit today. We will, hit on any football-related news as well. But as we close the year, thanks for hanging in with us, even on these off days, listening, making this a possibility as we're going on 6 years now of daily podcast, I think, something like that. So appreciate all of you as we get close to the holiday season up at rebelgrove.com. Russell with a ton of content from an official visit weekend for Ole Miss. So check rebelgrove.com as he is taking care of that. Also, Neil's 10 weekend thoughts are up this week as well. They've got a basketball emphasis, also some football. A very, very snarky Jonathan Howard with drink of the week this week. And
a lot of snark from Jonathan, yeah.
You'll appreciate that if you go and check out the drink of the week, which is number 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Always number 9.
Always number 9.
Always number 9.
Love potion number 9.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Always number 9, and then links are number 10.
Yeah. So that is up. Also, today I profile Taylor Polk, the Ole Miss senior who just completed his career, a walk-on all 5 years in the program. Went back, took a look at how he ended up at Ole Miss, the situations around that. He was actually very close to going to Mississippi State, had a couple things swung differently. And then his pursuit of a scholarship that never panned out. So talked to Taylor, talked to his dad. Talked to Hugh Freeze, who had a couple interesting quotes as well story. So
you talk about biting a tongue. I'm biting mine on one of those quotes.
That
good
is up
grief.
At rebelgrove.com. So check it out. You'll need a minute. It's about 3,000 words, but hang in with us, Taylor. Really interesting guy because, you know, we'll kind of start here. I think back to when I was 17, 18 years old. You don't have a lot of world comprehension. You're pretty much in your own world as far as
yeah.
You see yourself against everybody you're around every day, and that's kind of it. That's all you really have a face of. And Taylor had heard for a long time, hey, I'm 5'11", I'm 190 pounds, if I was 6'1", if I was 6'2". He has a line in the story where Dan Mullen at one point tells him, look, if you were 6'2", when I walked out, Mac Brown would walk in after me. But you're not. You're 5'11". We're trying. State got hit by some NCAA sanctions right after that because of the Will Redmond thing. Ended up not giving him a scholarship, not allowing that official visit. But what I'm kind of getting to is just in Taylor's mind, he has 200 and something tackles as a senior at Brandon High School. They play for the state title. They lose to a Tony Connor-led South Panola team. He has 35 tackles in the state title game. Frankly, just in that one game, outplays Connor. It would be a really hard pill to swallow when you look at it and go, from a number standpoint, I've done absolutely everything I can. Coaches aren't calling. Even the mid-level D1 schools aren't coming in and courting me. And probably to the point of being pissed off and helpless, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, it's exactly right. I mean, you're doing everything that you can do. You're controlling everything you can control. You can't make yourself taller. You can't make yourself faster. You can't change the way you look. I don't mean physically. I mean you can't change the way you look.
Yeah.
There was some fascinating stuff in there. I mean, he's one of those guys that basically has made a promise year after year after year.
Just do this.
Just do this, and we're going to get you in. Just do this, and we're going to get you on scholarship. Never gets on scholarship. And plays 5 seasons and becomes a lightning rod.
Of no fault of his own.
And you
whatsoever.
And I defended him our everlasting credit. We do a lot of things wrong and screw a lot of stuff up. We were right on that. When people would say, that damn Taylor Polk, I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Two things. One, he's on the field because he's one of your better linebackers.
He was their second best linebacker on the team this season behind DeMarcus Gates.
Yes. And two, it's not his fault. And now, three, he paid his own way the whole time.
Yeah, he had to send a tuition check in to be the number two linebacker on the roster this year. Ole Miss got more out of that than they did Deontay Anderson.
Oh.
Just saying.
Oh, think about this season. Deontay Anderson was on scholarship. Taylor Polk wasn't.
And without Taylor.
4-8.
I think he changes games.
Yes.
Yeah, do you? I wouldn't mean rhetorical. I mean,
no, yes. I don't think they beat Kentucky without him.
Okay.
I don't.
Played well against State, too.
Played real well against State. Had a great game against Arkansas. I realize they lost the game. But
A&M, he led the team in tackles against A&M on senior night.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of frustration at the defense that somehow got aimed right at Taylor Polk.
He became a poster child for something that was completely unfair.
Yeah.
Fan angst, as Russell is learning this weekend, can get really misdirected. How do you say this? It wasn't a good – we talked about this. There's a lot of ways to look at the Hugh Freeze era. They won the Sugar Bowl. They went to the Peach Bowl. But it wasn't a great recruiting staff. They lost on one linebacker after another. Missed on a lot of defensive targets. Wasn't a great recruiting staff.
Yeah, because, you know, even at running back, even though they did not have a ton of workable depth there at times, they signed a lot of four stars. They signed kids who, at least from a ranking standpoint, people thought they would be competitive. At linebacker, there was just not much there. There wasn't the, oh, well, this guy bust and this guy did this. There just weren't numbers at an SEC level overall.
No, and that's on a coaching staff. It's what's interesting about where we kind of are now. I mean, it's – the transfers are allowing them basically to sign a pretty full class. They're going to sign 20 kids, right?
I think they can go as high as 21, if I have that correct.
It's a lot of – I mean, I know you could sign 25. Most schools don't sign 25. Do the math. If you sign 25 a year for 4 years, that's 100. That's 15
which
over
– 50. It means 15 items of attrition, no matter what, minimum.
Yeah, so no one really signs 25 a year. Next year, they're going to sign 22, 23.
I don't know how many seniors there are.
Yeah, it's – and there's going to be guys that leave for the league. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just
– they'll sign as many as scholarships allow them to sign next year, NCAA-wise. So.
And there won't be a thing hanging over them.
No.
There's not a thing hanging over them now. Not many freshmen are saying, well, you know, I was going to go there, but I won't be able to go to a bowl my freshman year. That's illogical.
Quick comment on the transfer thing. Brian Dixon came out on Friday saying he was transferring. He used the misled statement in his statement. He is not being represented by Tom Mars. Per Tom Mars, he apparently just piggybacked on Mars's clients with that statement. So
yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Mars said that he had no idea. Frankly, he had no idea who Brian Dixon was before someone told him that Friday. And in this instance, I believe Tom Marsh.
Yeah, there's no reason to lie about it. He's not going to lie about who is or is not his client.
No, I believe him. So, there's that. Shea Patterson's going to Michigan. Duh.
Is it done?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Help me out here for a second.
Okay.
I get Harbaugh, and maybe it all stems from Harbaugh and whatever, okay?
Okay.
I understand what Harbaugh's stick is trying to be, okay?
Okay.
Why is this goofy fan base so excited about the rest of the dudes that they're trying to pursue here? They couldn't get on the field at Ole Miss.
I don't know.
I mean, I know you don't know, but is it not odd to you a little bit that there is all this – like the sign at the basketball game, taking the Ole Miss logo and doing the Ole Miss thing
yeah,
off
yeah.
of it. It's like, You do realize those guys weren't playing on the 6-6 team, right?
I think some of it is SEC respect.
Okay.
I think that's some of it. In Anderson's case, he was a highly ranked high school player.
Top 100 kid. Well, with our coaching staff, he'll.
So there's some of that, yeah. Which all fan bases do.
Yeah, that's whatever.
And then I just think it's just weirdness.
Weirdness.
I mean, seriously, I mean, there's no other word for it. I mean, you and I talk about this a lot. And this isn't directed at Ole Miss fans. This is directed, in this case, at Michigan fans, but it applies all over the place. You're a Saints fan.
I am.
But you don't take Saints stuff as hard as you see people take Michigan stuff. Or you're over a Saints loss, usually a tick later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the other night was one of the few that have run into the next morning, and I went to bed as soon as the game was over. So, and I got up pissed off at Twitter, frankly. So,
I mean, I consider myself a pretty big Cubs fan, but then I sometimes – I mean, I was joking about Shohei Ohtani seconds after he did not go with his heart. Okay. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I was joking about it. I mean, I'm already joking about Bryce Harper a year out. I mean, I mean,
that one's going to hurt you a little more, though. It is.
It will, but it's going to be funny. I've already told you, I have such respect for trolling, high level trolling, that I'm going to have to tip my hat to him when he signs with somebody else, and someone says, "What was all the Cubs stuff?" and he says, "I was trolling." I'm going to have to tip my hat and say that to long range troll to name your dog something as a.
I mean, that's a really long con he's pulling off.
It is. They named his dog Wrigley. I mean, it is the ultimate con. It's really fantastic.
Seriously, dude?
Yeah, his dog's name is Wrigley. Swear to God.
He's trying to drive Cubs fans crazy.
It's. Yeah, I mean, if they were doing this to the Cardinals, I would have a shrine of him in my office. I still might by the time it's over because I have so much respect for that level of trolling.
And if it's not a troll and he just signs with Chicago,
then I'm just really happy.
Yeah.
But I think a fan, a hardcore fan, is going to hate him. Like, hardcore Cardinals fans, hardcore San Francisco Giants fans are going to boo Giancarlo Stanton. And all Giancarlo Stanton did was exercise a clause in his contract. So anyway, we're jumping around, but I don't know. The Michigan thing right now is weird. They're barely a top half team in the Big Ten. You could argue that they're not a top half team in the Big Ten. Ohio State's better, Penn State's better, Michigan State is better, Northwestern is better.
Think so.
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Better. It's five.
You think Northwestern's better than Michigan?
As a program? Absolutely. Far more consistent.
Okay. I'm not a Big Ten expert. I'll take
it. Yeah, no, they are. They are a more consistent program than Michigan right now.
Fitzgerald getting some Bears looks.
Yeah. Would make some sense.
The Michigan thing's weird. It surprises me that he hasn't caught more criticism inside his own fan base, because I really thought at some point most of that fan base would go, dude, shut up, stop the podcast, and find a way to beat Ohio State. And instead, they are giving this dude every benefit of every doubt. It's, well, we were young, we were this, we were that. I mean, it is hardcore finding any reason to still love him.
They like his shtick.
It doesn't work.
No. Khaki pants and the hat all the time.
Most
I mean, it's
schools,
just stupid.
Frankly, almost every SEC school, forget winning the league, program not getting to whatever the expectation is. That head coach having a podcast, he would get crucified down here.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Brett Bielema doing hog talk with Bird every week. Oh. Oh.
He'd have gotten killed.
Hogville would have run him out of town.
Yes. Look at Gus Malzahn. They won, man. Year after year after year, they won.
He still doesn't have that high of an approval rating.
No. That's why I give him credit.
That thing's going to get weird for him in a year or two.
He can now. He doesn't care. He's going to get his money.
Yeah.
The buyout is such that he's going to get a ton of money when they can't fire him. I promise you there were Auburn fans that were the smart Auburn fan, mm-hmm. very conflicted during those games.
Yes, man, to get that type of contract, he's not universally loved over there.
No. Not at all.
Some hardcore kind of.
Kind of weird. He's antisocial, struggles with some basic stuff.
He's not a great fit for one of the small town SEC schools.
Yeah. But
he could be his aloof self better in Nashville, Columbia, some of those places.
In a year where he needed to beat Georgia or Alabama, he beat them both. What bowl are they in? The Capital One?
They're playing UCF in one of the Access Bowls.
Oh, that's right. They're in the Peach.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll go to Atlanta. Playing a UCF team that every coach is going to Nebraska. He took his entire staff.
Yeah,
with
I saw
him.
That. That was the knock. Remember that big story I wrote about Frost? I mean, not about Frost, but about coaches, and I mentioned Frost was included in it, and everybody talked about how all the people that I talked to, they said he's not a very flexible guy.
That would have been a no-go for a lot of teams.
Yes,
No.
Scott Frost is not a negotiator. Gonna win his way or lose his way. I give him some credit for that now. Because if you tell me I'm interviewing for a job, well, listen, Neil, we really want you to keep this guy and this guy. I'm out.
Well, no, it's not about keeping, but it's about just taking an American Athletic Conference staff
but
and
what
moving
if he,
them
what
into
if,
it.
That's what he believes in, those guys.
I see both sides, but part of it is just giving dudes raises that have not been at that level whatsoever.
Sure.
I mean,
no, you're going to throw them into the fire.
I mean, again,
those are his guys.
He can swim or sink. It's his deal.
And that's what everybody said. He's not going to negotiate. He's not exactly easy to work for. He's going to win or lose on his terms.
If he were not a Nebraska alum, he would have no shot at that job and not be a fit whatsoever in Lincoln.
Well, if he weren't a Nebraska alum, he would be the head coach at the University of Florida today.
He would.
And Dan Mullen would be the head coach at the University of Tennessee today. Tennessee would not have gone through this whole rigmarole.
Saw Dan's house on the market over the weekend.
You were telling me about this.
I have to admire his son's room has a little basketball court in the corner, like a little mini basketball court with the stripes and everything, like a hardwood in kind of the corner of his room.
It's pretty cool.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah, that is neat.
It was neat.
How high were the ceilings in there?
I don't know, and I still don't think you could use a regular basketball necessarily because it was a window kind of close over to the left that, I mean, look, maybe it's a reinforced deal and you couldn't throw a basketball through it. I don't know, but.
But you could have one hell of a game of Nerf hoop.
Oh, man. Yeah. You could go all out on a Nerf game, so. Anyway, let's see. What else is going on football-related? Army-Navy was cool on Saturday. Really cool. Snow. They had two passes, I think, in the game, maybe three. I was kind of hoping for no passes. But
that was a great game, and I had to leave it with 3 minutes left because I had to get Carson to his baseball party.
Oh, did you?
I mean, it was so much fun.
Are you an Army or a Navy guy?
I normally cheer for Navy.
I do too.
This year I caught myself cheering for Army and then feeling bad for Navy when it was over.
Yeah, I trend toward Navy. Dylan's a big-time Navy guy. He's clearly Navy for whatever reason.
Army's uniforms may have done it for me.
They should not have been allowed to wear the all-white in those conditions.
They can't control that it snowed.
I'm just saying. Should have had to put the black and gold on and everybody, and they go color on color.
Jeffrey and I had this conversation over the weekend. There were some sparkling, just raw, sexy all-white uniforms over the football weekend, starting on Thursday night with the Saints. The Saints
are good.
Oh, my God. Those are not good. Those are they stir things.
On all-white uniforms, the state of Louisiana might be the winners. LSU's all-whites they wear sometimes, and then the Saints.
Yeah.
Now, the Saints don't really go white helmet ever, but.
No, but that gold helmet was perfect.
It contrasts a little, but not enough to make it a problem.
I really liked Army's uniforms. They were phenomenal.
Navy actually kind of reminded me of like a Brewer-led Ole Miss team with the powder blue on the Navy. It just, there's something about it I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, I was not crazy about the Navy uniforms. And then we were watching the Giants a little bit yesterday. They went with the all-white.
Did they?
And it looked really, it was really good. They're awful. God, that's an awful football team.
Yeah, I didn't really watch much of anything at 12, and then I kind of played psychiatrist with Dylan through the 3 o'clock Eagles-Rams game.
If you're the Eagles, that is as brutal a day. You win a game in Los Angeles. That was a playoff game. You win the game, and you lose your quarterback on a play where, frankly, he competed too hard.
That game was really strange because, you know, I had some people come back and go, well, no, you're biased. You want the Rams to win. It's true. I probably actually, because Dylan's team has been so bad, feel a little more emotional element toward them than I even do the Saints. I've got a Super Bowl in the last six, seven years, whatever it is.
That's big of you.
It's true. Okay. And because yesterday I was much better off with the Rams losing than the Eagles losing from a Saints standpoint. The Saints are not catching the Eagles. So, but I found myself pulling for the Rams pretty heavy. But point being, that game was officiated as poorly as I've seen an NFL game officiated. Every little tic-tac personal foul on the Rams was thrown the entire game. And it's not bias. It's not any of that. But it was just – it was weird that that many calls because, I mean, were you watching any of this?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
That field goal, they call the leverage penalty late.
I missed part of the third quarter because I went running.
Well, in the fourth quarter, the Eagles are lining up for a 54-yard field goal. They hit it. And there's 5 minutes left, something like that. They called leverage on the Rams, which gave the Eagles a 15-yard first down, and they ended up kicking a field goal later in the drive. So it didn't change the points, but there was no leverage whatsoever. No one climbed on anyone. No one jumped over the pile. Nothing. They looked at it several times, went to Mike Pereira or whatever his name is, the referee guy, and he goes, I saw nothing. No, absolutely nothing. So it's a 15-yard penalty. And it didn't change the score, but the Rams lose about 3 minutes.
Right.
Well, that's a drive.
May have lost a possession.
Yeah, they lost a possession is what they did during the course of that. So, really, really strange. Also came out yesterday that a former Falcons player was an official in the Saints-Falcons game Thursday night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
no good.
Guy that
played 5 seasons with the Falcons back in the day was an official in the Saints-Falcons
game. How does that happen?
You can't have that happen. Yeah. Sean Payton might have killed 4 people yesterday at some point during.
It just can't happen. There's other games he can officiate.
It's like in the SEC. I don't think you can call your alma mater's games
in the SEC.
Yeah, I think
like,
that's a
like
rule.
Freeman.
Yeah, right.
Freeman didn't even go to Ole Miss, but because he lives in Oxford, he can't call an Ole Miss game.
He's an NFL ref now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, but, yeah, great game. Weirdly officiated game. Rams are not as bad a shape because the Jags beat Seattle yesterday, so Seahawks lost as well. Rams go to Seattle next Sunday in the national game.
The Rams are okay. The Eagles are in – that's devastating.
They clinched the East, but
– yeah.
I mean, if you're the Saints and some of those teams now, you go, yes.
Oh, sure.
Send me to Philly.
The window opened up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got a shot now. Let's
– yeah.
Carolina looked great yesterday. Went to Minnesota and won a football game. No, it was in Carolina, but they even
unlocked. It was at home.
Yeah.
Cam is inconsistent, yes. But when he's good, he's really good. And when he's bad, he's bad. But when he's good, they're tough.
Take a break in the show to tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. TysonDrugs.com. Go get your Sildenafil. It's a $10 alternative to that $50 or $60 little blue pill. Same length of effectiveness as the other guys. Gets you ready in as little as 15 minutes. So check them out at TysonDrugs.com. Fill out the form. Give them a call at 662-252-2321. Give them a doctor's name, and they'll even deliver the product to you if you are not local.
Chase mentioned 10 Weekend Thoughts. They are up on the site at rebelgrove.com. They are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. It is HarryAlexander.com. H-A at HarryAlexander.com is his email. She is distracting me. Goodness gracious. No one knows the market better than he does. If you're in the market for a residence or a condo, that is the place to go. His site's updated daily. It's a great resource if you are in the real estate market in Oxford. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, offers you all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons to push. There's no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. Just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi, Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals. The service is just spectacular. You will be very appreciative of it at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com.
Thing for the NFL yesterday, they get the great Eagles-Rams game. They get a lot of really high-profile, good games yesterday on a week when they just kind of needed it from a product standpoint. But then, again, have another bad look. Jags-Seahawks last night.
They have a last guy, night?
Or yesterday, 3 o'clock.
There was a bad look at the noon game, too, the Texans quarterback.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Tom Savage looks like he has a seizure on the field, frankly. He starts kind of twitching. Goes back in the game.
They say that is one of the first, most visible symptoms of a concussion. It's called
a tremor thing.
Your arms do this. I know you don't, unless you have ESPN 13 at home, you don't see this. Your arms kind of go up, and I read a medical guy came in and said, yes, that's a something. He gave it a term, and he said that's one of the first signs of concussion, that it was obvious that he'd had a concussion. And he went back in and played a series before they pulled him.
David Cho, or whatever his name is, the former Chargers doctor that's always so good on Twitter and is always right, they kind of asked him to kind of explain it. And he said the only explanation is that the independent neuro doctor, surgeon, whatever he is, consultant, didn't see that and then gave him a manual test, and he passed the manual test was the only explanation. But anyway, so they have that. And then the NFL has been so divisive because of political reasons all season. And then in this 3 o'clock game, they get a punch thrown after Michael Bennett, the Seahawks player, rolls up the center on a kneel down, essentially. Just goes in, tries to take the center's knee out after the play. And of all people to do it, he's the Seahawks representative for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is given to an NFL player annually that does tons of work in his community and different things. Bennett has been a lightning rod on both sides of things for his Las Vegas encounter earlier this year. Awful look, though, for a complete and utter lack of sportsmanship from one of those candidates on a week where they were being profiled, because it's also the first week where the former overall winners were wearing the Walter Payton badge on their jerseys, like Breeze Thursday night.
Eli Manning had it on Sunday.
Yeah, so the winners had the badges, and then they have that out of one of the representatives on Sunday afternoon.
That is a terrible look. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the center is just standing there, and he dives into the side back of the center's knee.
Ooh,
he and Fournette had an encounter after that.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Fournette's not a guy I'd really want in the alley very much.
No, he looks like
he's up the list pretty good on just dudes that look okay in the uniform.
Guys I don't want to fight.
Speaking of, Fournette looked really good in that all-white uniform a couple years ago.
Yeah,
he was kind of the guy that should have got off the bus first in the uniform.
He's a guy that would look good in almost any uniform. But, yes, in that particular uniform, it was just spectacular.
Yeah, it was always the defensive back or the linebacker you liked at LSU that filled out his uniform. What was his name?
He went early in the draft. Plays with the Jets, I think.
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, gosh.
Why is this escaping me? Everybody's yelling at their radio
yeah,
right
it's
now.
Escaping. Jamal Adams.
Yeah, Jamal Adams. That's it. He fills out the uniform really well.
He looks really good in the uniform. You know, I watched a thing. He's about near misses. Jalen Ramsey. Wow, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
He's okay.
He's a good player. The NFL has to get this concussion thing. They've got to get this right. They have no margin for error. They have to have a zero tolerance policy moving forward. The league has to address it. You cannot have a player have a concussion where everyone watching on television sees him have a concussion and that player go back in. It cannot happen. It can't happen. This isn't me attacking football. You know me better than most people. I'm not. I need football to make it another 30 years. But you can't have that.
Here's my logistical question. They've brought in this guy to stand on the sidelines and do nothing but this. So what do you do to improve it another thing? What do you do?
You have to have better communication. All the modern communication, it has to be someone that says, look, he did the thing. He had a – I saw a term for it. It's
multiple extra people in a booth, something, somewhere,
where
whatever.
You know it's going viral on social media.
Okay.
You have to have someone say, hey, he's got to go in for a little while. We've got to go make sure that he – because it turned out that he went in for a series and had to leave the game.
Yeah.
So had he not gone in for that series – because it turns out when you put him in for that series, you put him at risk.
Also, this is not really a hot take because I'm not the only one with this opinion. If Eli Manning was already a Jag, they'd be the Super Bowl favorites. Just saying.
You know, I watched a lot of that game yesterday. Eli still has plenty of fuel in the tank.
Jacksonville is a consistent quarterback from being potentially the favorite. Defensively, they've gotten a lot better. They've got a running game. They're good. They're really good.
Eli at 36, I think.
I believe he's 36.
Yeah. Is victimized by a number of things. One, they've had a run on injuries at wide receiver.
Their receiving core is god-awful.
Yeah, their best receiver right now, and this is not a knock on Evan, but their best receiver right now is a rookie tight end. In an ideal world, Evan would be a
– Odell Beckham's out there. I mean, yeah, there's dudes.
In an ideal world, he is a number three option in your offense. Their running back core is abysmal, and their offensive line is just so bad. Like when you watch Rams Eagles after you just watch Cowboys Giants, and you see three really good offensive lines, and then the Giants, and you're like, "Well, how did that happen?"
Yeah, because like especially in this part of the country, from a what did I watch this weekend? You watch Saints Falcons, and then you watched. Yeah, Cowboys, Giants, and then Eagles, Rams. That was your weekend in a row.
Cowboys have a very, very good offensive line.
Yeah,
Saints, Falcons line. Have very good offensive lines.
Yeah, they're good.
Eagles and Rams have spectacular offensive lines. And then the Giants. Where you think everyone must be fired. And they have been. It's kind of what I said several times about Ole Miss's linebacker core. How's that happen?
And it did.
It did.
Full circle.
Everyone was not fired.
So basketball, Ole Miss goes to Murfreesboro on Saturday. Competitive for a half, gets blown out in the second half. I think outscored by 20 or so in the second half. It gets Middle Tennessee. I think it's won 7 in a row against SEC teams, if I have that right. Maybe they beat Vanderbilt already this year as well. Maybe.
Yeah, and they play Auburn. This week
they'll beat Auburn.
And they'll beat Auburn. Look,
good.
Yeah, here's the thing: they're 4-4. I'm not people that are waiting for me to make excuses. It's not coming. So, a loss in and of itself at Middle Tennessee, even a bad loss in and of itself at Middle Tennessee, is not a big deal. I think they have a. They're going to finish with the top 25 RPI probably. They're going to the tournament.
They're dangerous.
They're probably going to the second weekend of the tournament.
Yeah, so Saturday was not a microcosm of anything necessarily.
Except for this.
Yeah.
This team was built around guards and around the idea that Dominik Oleničić would be a difference maker in the middle on the defensive side of the of the defensive end of the court. He's not. He played 9 minutes. He scored 2 points. He had an assist, and he did not have a rebound. So that's 31 minutes that he's not on the floor, and you're having to play Bruce Stevens at the five. Bruce Stevens is a four. Bruce Stevens is a JUCO kid making a transition. Their best post player right now is Markkanen Hyman. And it's much like what I just said about the Giants and Evan Engram. Markkanen Hyman is supposed to be a guy coming off the bench giving you energy minutes. Not a guy playing 31, 32 minutes a game being counted on. And they've put themselves in a spot where they just don't have any margin for error. Markel Crawford didn't shoot the ball well. Terrence Davis didn't have a big offensive game.
Brian Tyree has not played as well as expected.
He hasn't. And it's just not going well. They're 4-4. They lost two overtime games that people are like, well, those were close, but close doesn't count.
Yeah, at some point you got to win basketball games. I mean, the problem with Ole Miss, and I'm watching from so far off because I, A, don't really know much about basketball, and B, don't cover the program, but they fell victim to what they have fallen victim to a lot. They don't beat the team they've got to beat in these weird tournaments somewhere in the country, somewhere out of the country. They lose to Utah. Instead of just beating Utah, you get UNLV. It is what it is. You
had you
beaten
Utah and then lost to UNLV, you'd be fine.
Yeah, instead.
But you have to beat South Dakota State.
It's a bye game.
And you had a 17-point lead against Virginia Tech. Good teams hold on to that lead and win the game. And then if you go to Middle Tennessee and lose, who cares?
You're even at 6-2, you're fine.
Well, you're 6-2 with two really good losses and two really good wins.
Yeah.
Maybe three really good wins. Instead, you're in trouble. You're 4-4. There are two home games this week. I don't know that there's much energy. I don't know how many people will show up. It starts becoming an indictment. It you know, like I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. You know what the undercurrent story is right now. I'm not going to write about coaching stuff in December. It's too early. They still have, 18 league games? I mean, I'm not doing that. That's ignorant, and I'm not going to do it. But it becomes this undercurrent in your program.
Well, they haven't won enough games to this point, and an eye test tells us that as of today, they are not one of the best seven teams in the league.
Well, I think you said KenPom has them 7-11 in the league.
I think that's right, yeah.
You know, 7-11 in the league, and there will be a coaching change at the end of the year. And then we're going to get back into that question that where the football coaching search is going to come back up. Who's running the search? Who makes the call?
Yeah, what's going on?
And everyone's going to get pissy again.
Yeah, it's not about one game. It's about everything that's happened to this point. So,
and when everyone I'm gonna get out in front on two things right now. When everyone does this on the basketball coaching search, the two names that always come up, because this is what people do. Ole Miss people do this, Mississippi State people do this, Alabama people do this. The two names that come up always are Michael White. He's not leaving Florida for Ole Miss. You agree?
Yeah, he's not doing that. Yeah.
And the other name that comes up is Elston Turner, who hasn't been in the college game in forever. And Elston Turner's name only comes up because he's an Ole Miss guy.
Well, it's why Mike's name comes up too, because had Billy Donovan been the coach, Ole Miss fans wouldn't go, well, hey, what about Billy? I mean,
right. Mike's not leaving Florida for Ole Miss. So, you know, I suspect we're in for a sort of a combative.
Turner has never coached in the college game. He has been an NBA coach since 1996.
Yeah, I was going to say 20 years, so 20-plus years.
Yeah, Blazers, Kings, Rockets, Suns, Grizzlies, Kings since 96. It was with the Chicago Rockers before that, whatever the world the Chicago Rockers
right.
is.
I mean, so does he know the NBA game? Yes. Does he know the college game? Yeah, he knows it, but can he recruit? Does he know how to coach? Does he know how to run a college program? The only reason his name comes up is he's an Ole Miss guy. So, but I think it's too early to get into stuff like that. There's still a lot of games to be played. I wrote this. There's two games this week. Sam Houston State on Wednesday night. And then Illinois State on Saturday afternoon. And both of those games are must-win games.
I mean, they can't lose another non-conference game except maybe at Texas. That's it.
Texas is playing well.
I mean, that's all. Otherwise, they're just too. It's just not enough.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
five losses, and they've put themselves in a spot where they probably have to go 13-5 in the league. And this doesn't look like a team that's capable of going 13-5 in the league.
Because the league's pretty good.
The league's good.
It's at least competitive, bare minimum.
Yeah, it's more than that.
Yeah, there's three teams that are
That are really good. There's an Alabama team that is dangerous as hell because Colin Sexton's a terrific player.
And even without Michael Porter, Missouri's okay.
Yeah, they're better.
They're okay.
Tennessee's better.
They are better. Georgia went over Purdue.
Yeah, Georgia's solid. Arkansas beat the hell out of Minnesota the other night.
And Vandy can be okay.
And Vandy's solid.
Yeah.
So it's a really good – Auburn's playing okay right now. I don't even know anything about State.
I don't either. South Carolina's winning, but they suck.
Yeah, and he's getting into it with fans and stuff. He's got to stop.
Yeah, they're 8-2, I think. They beat Coastal by – sheer luck the other night.
And that's New Year's Eve. That's the first game of the year. It's to say it's a must win is an understatement.
Gotta beat Carolina at home. So podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. Look at Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. And all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. So you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Ask Jason about the flow down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704. J-Low, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers, you should know, only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a good one when you get Robert Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Big congratulations to Stephen McRoberts and the Ole Miss volleyball team. They won the NVIT. Isn't that what it's called?
They won the semifinal NIBT against Texas. No, they get West Virginia. They play Texas Tech Tuesday.
Play Texas Tech Tuesday, I believe, at 6.
At home.
At home. Maybe 6:30. We'll get a time to you. It's in 10 Thoughts. I could go look it up in a second. Anyway, I think tickets are $5 at the gate. And good luck to them as they move forward. We mentioned men's basketball Wednesday night at home against Sam Houston. Saturday afternoon at home against Illinois State. And I think Wednesday is the school kid game for the women's team.
Is it? Okay.
Because Carson was telling me he's got a field trip on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
So that means the pavilion will be rocking on Wednesday morning.
Give the kids Snickers and Mountain Dew and let them
have at it. Play a lot of Britney Spears and some
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, some Justin Bieber.
Is the NCAA mascot guy going to be there? What's his name? JJ Jumper, I think, is the little Philly fanatic looking thing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you hadn't seen him?
I've never seen
him. You hadn't done enough of these school day games, have you?
I've done plenty.
Have you?
I've done a few.
Okay.
I'm good.
Have you really?
I did
the men do them?
When I was in Mobile covering the Bay Bears, you would see school day. You would see school day show up at 11 a.m. game, and the place was packed with kids. It was loud. Nobody was watching the game. And all you could think about was a ball's going to kill a kid.
That's my annual thing because baseball still has it. Sorry.
What were you laughing at?
That stupid story David Brandt tells about the school day thing, and I can't stop laughing about it. I'm sorry. And no, I can't tell it. It's not tellable. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just got I got a little tickled, okay? It's okay. Anyway. Silence.
Oh, God, I just remembered a story, too, so bad.
Yeah, baseball still does the school day game. Still hate it. That's the sport where someone's going to get hurt eventually. I know they haven't yet, thank God, but it's going to happen.
Well, a lot of major league teams, like as we're watching the highlights, this is the year they're extending the netting, thank God.
Almost every team finally is, aren't they?
Just about.
Okay. You have to.
Yes.
That netting nowadays, because Ole Miss has the really good netting too, you don't even notice it after like a minute.
Less than that.
Yeah, you just
takes your eyes a split second to adjust.
Yeah, it's really not a big deal. So anyway, we were at the time of year that Oxford is quite pleasant. Students are gone, Neil.
Yes.
Get a few weeks of ghost town.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
It is.
Because this is even better than some of the summer stuff, because the kids still don't really leave in the summer. They go home at Christmas, at least.
Yeah, they go home for a month.
Yeah.
A magical
I mean, it'll start month. Getting a little intercession back around January 3rd to 5th, but it's still not terrible.
Yeah, and even in intercession, they're on campus studying.
And everybody's in a pretty good mood. It's okay.
This is happy time.
Yeah, because intersessions, they're in class 4 hours a day.
Yeah, and then you have to study it.
It's 2 weeks, 4 hours a day for 2 weeks.
Yeah, or you will fail.
Yeah, I always liked intersession classes.
I've never had one.
Yeah, getting those knocked out quick. That was always
quick hours.
Oh yeah. Take a hard class over the course of 2 weeks, you're done.
Just knew 2 weeks were gonna suck. And then,
yeah, like I took it ended up being a pretty good class that I liked because I'm a complete nutter dork. I took media ethics in an intercession.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of writing. So the 5 days a week on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you had 5-page papers due. And on Tuesday, Wednesday, you had 3-page papers due every day, 2 weeks, 3 and 5. They'd give you a case or an ethics situation. You have to write a paper on it that day for the next day.
That wouldn't be bad.
And you'd go over it for 2 hours the next morning, and they'd give you the next day's one for the next day, and you'd talk about it before you had to go into it. And then I think the last couple of days you had to do a project, like whether it was the Minnesota basketball thing with the Pioneer Press, whether it was Watergate, whatever it was, you had to then write a kind of a final thing on that.
It's not bad.
That was okay. I enjoyed it.
If you're not a terrible writer, you could write something like that quickly.
Yeah.
Especially if you understood the subject.
It's kind of interesting. It's essay form. It's just what would you do? Why would you do it? What are the problems? Whatever it was.
Right.
So, yeah, it was okay. Oh man, your golf outing is 48 hours away, or I'm sorry, 49 hours away as of right now.
Yeah,
we are teeing off on Wednesday morning.
It's my fault. I didn't get lessons.
I set it up. Told you how to do it.
I just didn't have time. Okay. Honestly, I did go hit a second time. I'm gonna go hit again today.
You're a little better than I would think you would be, frankly.
The closer I get to the green, the more of a nightmare it becomes.
Yeah, welcome to golf.
I've done okay. Catching a little bit of a weather break. It's going to be cold, but it's not going to be vicious.
It's not going to be viciously cold, and it's not going to be wet.
And it appears the sun's going to shine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be good, but it's okay. You'll probably need a toboggan.
Yeah, I'm just going to dress warm.
Yeah.
Hope for the
we'll
best.
Be out there a while.
We'll be out there for a while.
But I was at a party on Saturday night. Multiple people coming up asking me how your game's going, what they thought you'd shoot. It was a topic of conversation.
If I don't end up covering Ole Miss and Sam Houston on Wednesday night,
because you're still hitting golf balls,
you will know one of two things happened. I'm either still on the course, or the post course activities took on a life of their own.
The 19th hole took longer than expected.
You will know that the 19th hole either took too long or took its toll.
One or the other.
Be forewarned, that could happen.
Okay. So we'll tee it up with the two winners of our auction.
I pay for game coverage.
Then, like I said, Jonathan's going to join us. Might get him on the show tomorrow to preview Neil's round before Wednesday morning.
I'm looking forward to being able to help Jonathan a little bit.
Yeah, you know. He might get some swing thoughts before he goes to Hawaii for the
That's
summer.
That's what I thought. You know, I thought, I'm going to tell him, listen, get your questions in now.
Don't distract you on the course because you got
to. Well, no, I mean, we can talk on the course. I mean, if he needs me to. I anticipate at least a few times him saying, show me what you just did. And I'll say, well, let me try to help you. You know, I'm here to help. I'm here to help the kids. I'm here to help Jonathan.
Our fundraising page is linked through the website. It's on the message board. It is on Twitter. It is on Facebook. Find it. And again, you can either email me with a pledge, like I'm going to give $1 per shot for Neil McCready's golf round, or you make a straight donation. If you're making a straight donation, you can go ahead and do that now through that page. Choose the make a gift option when you do that, and then donate whatever you like. Again, all proceeds going to St. Jude for this endeavor.
I was talking to Alan King at Layman's,
and he emailed me.
He said he's doing $1 a shot, but a max of 200 shots. And I said, well,
that is true.
You're probably in for 200 then, bud.
You really, I mean, you talk about all this, but you really have no expectation because even to this moment, you haven't actually played a golf hole. And if I have one concern for your score, it's that hitting on the range is a totally different animal than hitting from the tee box. Mentally, having to aim, having somewhat of a boundary even on the wider holes, it's a little different than just, hey, I'm going to whack this thing and there are no houses or people in sight and whatever way it goes, that's cool. That's an easier mental situation than the tee box on Wednesday morning.
Like I've said, if I shoot anything under 300, I'm going to be pleased.
Would you like to hit first, second, third, or would you like me to have Jonathan tee it off and then let you follow him? How would you like to how would you like to play the first tee box on Wednesday?
I don't know.
I'll let Jonathan show you the way, and then you can.
Yeah.
Might not be good though, because you might be trying to waste one of your two on the first one when you see where his goes, and then have go. Yeah, I've got a hit now. So
yeah. I don't know. I'm probably not going to, no offense to the people that we're playing with, I'm probably going to intentionally not pay a lot of attention to what they're doing.
That's probably a...
Just going to kind of do my thing.
Yeah. So, it'll be fun. We'll get going again. Wednesday, I'll be handling social media. I'll put plenty of stuff up on Twitter, Facebook, different things. Might even do some Periscope or some Facebook Live as he comes down the stretch on the 18th, finishing up the round. I've got to keep up with
So we're looking at finishing about 3 o'clock?
My assumption is it will take somewhere around 4.5 to 5 hours is my guess.
So the 19th hole will start around
3:01. Right?
Yeah. There's a decent chance that...
Wait, we can get it on the course if you would like.
There's a decent chance that Sam Houston State and Ole Miss is going to be an AP story.
Yes. Forewarning.
Just kind of letting people know that could happen.
We will not have a podcast that morning, though, seriously.
Right.
All jokes aside, because of this, we're teeing off at 10. There's just no way to get out there, get warmed up, and also, frankly, make sure we as much as Neil and I can, give a good experience to the two people that are donating money to this call. So
No podcast Wednesday, and a chance of no podcast Friday. We'll let you know as we get closer. It is holiday time. We've got stuff going on. You have stuff.
Anything
going
crazy
on.
Happens, we will. You'll find out.
The week leading up to Christmas, we're planning to do at least 4 podcasts. We might take that Friday before Christmas off, but we'll let you know.
Yeah, I don't even know what day of the week is Christmas on.
It's on a Monday. It's 2 weeks from today.
Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah.
None. I mean, just. No clue. So.
They were just showing a guy in the lobby at the where the baseball meetings are. He was on his phone. He walked straight into a water fountain.
Like into it?
Yeah, just got soaked.
The one right behind him right there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just into basically a lake.
Okay.
Well, it's funny.
podcast brought to you in part by Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape. It's a great time to let them help you out. If your fence line needs clears, if you got a little yard work that needs to be done, cleaning up, if you're hosting something this holiday season, or if maybe part of your Christmas present is an outdoor living area, that kitchen, the fence, the arbor or more that you've been trying to get done all year, get a free quote from Master Cuts. They'll have a great price and do great work for you at 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. And remember, when you sign an annual contract, mention the podcast, and whenever it's needed, the first cut will be free.
Look at him.
That would have sucked.
Oh, my God.
The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%. Terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give him a call, go to Google. Read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. And then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, give Romero a call. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212.
Yeah, I just now saw the video of that guy walking into the fountain. You really should check that out. MLB Network had it on.
And
there,
it was the fountain right behind them.
It was bad. I mean, he just tumbled in. Then the shock had to wear off before he found a way to crawl out. So,
and then you're soaked.
Well, and embarrassed to a point that I can't even comprehend,
no,
frankly.
No, just awful.
It's the most embarrassed you've ever been.
I'd have to think about it. I don't know.
Have to think about it?
Yeah.
That topic for Tuesday?
I'd have to give that some real thought.
Really?
Yeah.
So many of them over the years that it's hard
There's
to narrow it down to one?
Plenty of options.
You ever had a crazy typo or a grammatical mistake or something that was incorrect get into the paper the next day that freaked you out?
No.
Really?
No. I'm pretty clean as a writer. I mean, I make mistakes, don't get me wrong, but never had anything that was, like, humiliating that I can recall.
Editor never put the wrong version in or wrong scores or anything along those lines?
No, I was
like
always,
what happened to Bonner a couple years ago.
Yeah,
that late State Arkansas game that was not his fault
with
at all.
The question marks.
Yeah, well, no, he sent in
the wrong score,
a win or a loss, and they put the wrong one in late in the jump. I think
that can't happen. And
I think that's what happened.
Yeah, ooh, no.
No, the complete wrong version because he was on deadline and just had two additions.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah, so. SMU looks like they're closing in a deal to make Sonny Dykes their new head coach.
Saw that. Sonny Dykes, a name that came up with my people. Hey, here's a guy who Ole Miss should look at, stuff like that.
Dylan sent me some Twitter stuff. The SMU pony up Twitter is not happy about Sonny Dykes. Not sure who they actually would have been happy about, though, in saying that. So, Chad Morris taking some commits, doing a lot of work for Arkansas all of a sudden against the ponies.
I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't necessarily think Arkansas needs to fill their entire commit list with guys committed to SMU, however. That's not going to win the SEC West. Pick and choose, bud. Pick and choose.
There's no question about that.
I mean.
No questions.
You might really like those dudes, but you're not facing Cincinnati and Tulane now.
No, you're facing Alabama and Auburn and Georgia. LSU, big boys.
Anyway, Ben Roethlisberger first got to post 3 500-yard games during his career. He went for 560, I think, last night in that game. You say he's an easy Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Yeah. Two rings.
I remember standing on the sidelines at, I think, UMS Wright.
They were in whatever that bowl was at the time, the GMAC or whatever.
Actually, this was after his junior year. He was had gone pro, and he was standing with Drew Rosenhaus.
Senior Bowl stuff.
Yeah. And I was 2 feet away, and it's Gabe DeArmond. You could
So, anyway, that is that with Ben. We will talk to you tomorrow on the show. Thank you. Check rebelgrove.com in the meantime. Talk to you then.